Church family, as we begin the month of June, it is no surprise to you that our culture, our society, many in it, celebrate the month of June as so-called Pride Month. It is all around us. It's all around the media. It's all around our society. And the leadership of the church thought that it would be appropriate and beneficial to equip you as the church family as to biblical truth regarding God's design for marriage and regarding what the Bible says about homosexuality. Over the next handful of Sundays in the month of June, we're going to take about 3 to 5 minutes each Sunday evening in our worship service. And the leadership is going to go through a different topic that is related to homosexuality. So, for instance, tonight, my topic is homosexuality in the Old Testament. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is I have a couple of slides up here that Andrew is going to kind of go with me as we do this for a few minutes. Jot down some of these scriptures that come to mind. You probably can't get the whole quote, but that's okay. You can get some scriptures. And our goal this month for the Shepherd's Moment of Equipping is to honor Christ and to honor His Word in a threefold way. Number one, we want to teach and equip you as the church family. Number two, we want to protect you as the church congregation from all kinds of error that is swirling around us in our day. Number three, we want to uphold the beauty of Jesus Christ and His gospel and His plan for marriage between one man and one woman alone. That is what rightly pictures the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To begin, you have the slide here, a quote by Kevin DeYoung. He said, "The biblical teaching is consistent and unambiguous. Homosexual activity is not God's will for His people. Silence in the face of such clarity is not prudence, and hesitation in the light of such frequency is not patience." I go to the next slide, if you would, please, Andrew. What I want to do is give you just a couple of simple thoughts here in this couple of minutes. Number one, let's look at the beautiful plan of God. Let's look at the good note, first of all, before we get to culture. Let's look at God's beautiful plan, the beautiful plan of God. Marriage is a glorious institution, and we affirm Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, now listen to this, male and female, He created them. It's interesting that the emphatic words in the Hebrew language signify the monogamous heterosexual marriage is the only design, a male and a female. That is God's design for marriage, even from the beginning of creation. You know Genesis 2 and verse 24 and 25. The scripture is up here. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, that is the woman, and they shall become one flesh. So we might define marriage as only between one man and one woman. Whatever culture might say, whatever some who may profess to be Christians might affirm, nothing counts as a legitimate marriage except for the union between one man and one woman alone. But I also want you to look with me at number two on the bottom of this slide, the blasphemous perversion against God. A church family, homosexuality is explicitly condemned in the Bible as sinful against God and rebellious against God's plan. Now, Leviticus 18:22, you got to get this verse. This is a clear verse from God's law. You shall not lie, that is sexually lie with a male as one lies with a woman. Here's what God says. It is an abomination. I looked up the Hebrew word abomination. Here's what it means. A detestable, hateful thing of horror. It is that which inflames God's righteous wrath. And those who live and engage in this lifestyle will surely receive God's punishment unless God saves them by His grace. Leviticus 20, verse 13, another one. If there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. And the text says, they shall surely be put to death. They are both guilty of the sin. You know the historical example of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. The sin of Sodom, God said, is exceedingly grave. It is exceedingly heavy. And so the men of Sodom came to the house of Lot. Bring out the men that we might have sexual relations with them. That is homosexual relations. Jude, verse 7, calls this very occasion gross immorality. And these are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. There's a slide next here, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind, that says this. We must say that God's view and declaration of all homosexual behavior and desires is revealed in the word abomination. It defies God. It rejects His design. It rebels against His plan. And it destroys the gospel portrait found only in the monogamous heterosexual marriage. Homosexuality ignites the anger of God. And those who engage in such practice are under His wrath and will receive His endless punishment if they do not repent of it and flee to Christ's available mercy. Now, let's just go to the next slide, if you would. We looked at the beautiful plan of God in marriage. We have seen the blasphemous perversion against God in all homosexual activity. Let me show you number three, the beautiful picture. Let me show you why this is a big deal and why we must affirm the truth about marriage. Because according to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, marriage is a picture of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the head of His church, the Lord of His church, sought out His bride. And He loved His bride. And He died for His bride. This is the reality of what marriage points to. Every marriage is a pointer to this ultimate reality of Jesus Christ and His union with His church. So then we can conclude with this. Homosexual activity, homosexual marriage, homosexual endorsement, and homosexual tolerance distorts the gospel picture that God intended to marriage to portray. It defies the will of the Creator, it threatens what is good, and it certainly hurts all who are involved in this practice. But I have good news, and we end with this, and we'll mention this every single week. Even though all homosexual behavior is perversion and rebellion against God, the good news of the Bible is that all who come to Jesus Christ, whether they're homosexual or heterosexual, are promised mercy, forgiveness, cleansing, and hope. This is the beauty of God's grace and powerful regeneration, where God really does transform the nature. God does change our nature, and He does give everlasting life. What an inviting and a glorious Savior. That is the Bible's view of homosexuality from the Old Testament. Church family, next week you will hear the New Testament view of homosexuality. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to give courage in the days in which we live. Our Father, we thank You for the clarity in the Bible that You have given regarding this topic that is so prevalent in our day, as it has been in other generations, that of homosexuality. Oh God, we serve a glorious and a saving and a powerful Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is able to take heterosexual and homosexual sinners and bring them into the family of God by His glorious power. Give us as a church family unwavering courage and conviction and clarity regarding what the Bible says on these matters. In Jesus' name.